if there ever was a spiritual schizophrenic, it was Jacob. If ever a man deserved two names, Jacob did. He was like two people, much like you and I. He was given the name Jacob, or supplanter, or trickster, at his birth. For he it was who became the one who was the great trickster, and the one who was tricked, of course, off in his latter days. Something happened to Jacob, however. When that something happened, God saw him no longer as Jacob or supplanter, but rather God saw him as a prince. And God changed his name to Israel, which means a prince. So there are two Jacobs. One is a trickster. The other is a prince. One is carnal. The other is spiritual. One is serving God, the other is serving Satan. Jacob and Israel. It was Jacob who stole the birthright from his brother Esau and got what was not justly and rightly his. It was Jacob who stole the blessing from that same Esau when he made his hands and his neck appear to be hairy and came to his blind father and received the blessing that was directed toward his brother Esau. It was Jacob who left home with the Padan Aram. It was Jacob who saw the vision of the ladder at Bethel. It was Jacob who fell in love with Rachel while he was in Padan Aram and worked 7 years for her. It was Jacob who was fooled at the end of that 7 years and got Leah, her sister. It was Jacob who worked 7 more years for Rachel. It was Jacob who got rich. It was Jacob who heard the call of God to come back to Bethel. It was Jacob. It was Israel who prayed all night at Jabbok. It was Israel who wrestled with God. It was Israel who said, I will not let thee go. It was Israel who sought forgiveness from his brother against whom he had sinned. It was Israel who offered to give his brother money and gifts in penance for his sins against him. Years later, after his name had been Israel for these many years, nobody called him Jacob. Everybody called him Israel. God told him to take a journey down to Egypt to see his son Joseph, who there had risen to the seat of power. He went on his journey, and God called him Israel. As long as he journeyed, God called him Israel. He came to a place called Beersheba, which was right at the door of the promised land on his journey to Israel, and there he stopped. And God looked down and said to Israel, Jacob, Jacob. In spite of the fact that he had been Israel for these many years, he still had some Jacob in him. In spite of the fact that for these years he had been a prince, he still has a touch of that old supplanter in him. There are still two people there. Though one has predominated now for a long time, there's still the other. Now Jacob was like me. He bounced from being Jacob to Israel, and Israel to Jacob, and back again, and back again, and back again. God chooses to call him the name which best describes his present condition. Each of us this morning is both a Jacob and an Israel. There's that old nature that wants to do bad and that new nature that wants to do good. Every person in this room this morning is a Jacob and an Israel. No, I have some bad news for you. You're never going to get sanctified to where Jacob's dead. If you ever think you are, that's a good chance to let Jacob, you think he's dead, he'll come back and capture you one of these days. You're never going to become just Israel until that day when you become like Christ and you see him. With Jacob, we get all we can for ourselves, and yet with Israel, we confess and vow we'll never do it again. With Israel, we prevail like princes at noonday, and yet ere the sun is set in the evening time, we live with Jacob. We hold petty grievances with Jacob, and yet we ask forgiveness with Israel. With Israel, we get right with our God, and yet with Jacob, we steal and run. With Israel, we are oftentimes Jacobs, and we're Jacobs, and we want to be Israels, and Israels, and we want to be Jacobs. There seems to be a real constant warfare. Do you find two natures warring in your body all the time? There's one white dog and one black dog. There's one good man and one bad man. There's one plus and one minus. There's one positive. There's one negative. There's one that goes right and one that goes wrong. There's one that wants to love and one that wants to hate. That's what it is. There's a Jacob inside of you that wants preeminence. But thank God there's an Israel inside of all of God's people who also wants the preeminence over Jacob. We, like Peter, become Jacobs and deny our Lord. And yet, like Peter, we rise to become Israels at our Pentecost and 3,000 people are saved. We, like Elijah, are Israels at Mount Carmel and become Jacobs under the juniper tree when fleeing from Jezebel. We, like Elijah, can defeat Ahab and be Israels and yet become Jacobs and lose to Jezebels. We run with Jonah, like Jacob, and try to run from the will of God, and yet our Jacobs turn around and become Israels. We go to Nineveh and preach a great revival campaign. We are Israels like Noah to stand the test, but then our Jacobs get drunk after the test is over. We, like Moses, are Israels at the Red Sea, yet never get across the Jordan and become Jacobs again. Job was Israel when he stood the test, yet became Jacob when he got proud of the fact that he stood the test. What I'm trying to say is this. Every person in this room is a dual person. In a sense, we're all schizophrenic. In a sense, we're all paranoid. In a sense, none of us is normal. In a real sense, all of us are split personalities. There's something in us that says do what you ought to do, and something in us that says never do what you ought to do. There's something in every child that says mind your father and mother, and there's something else that says be rebellious against your father and mother. There's something in every student that says cheat on the test, and something in every student that says don't cheat on the test. There's something in every single born-again child of God who says do good and something else who says do right. We, like Jacobs, are both Israels and Jacobs. Have you ever noticed the same little child that looks up and touches your cheek and thrills your soul as he rubs your cheeks with his tender infant hands and says, I love you, and you tingle from the crown of your head to the sole of your foot. That same little angel becomes a little brat and holds his breath till it turns purple to get his way. What is it? He's both a Jacob and an Israel. Have you ever noticed that little baby that gives you that toothless smile and bobbles his head like that and smiles that little toothless smile that causes you to believe that never a baby ever smiled like that before, and your crow is the blackest of all? Have you ever noticed that same little Israel who gives you that sweet toothless smile gets mad and spits his food back up all over your nice clean suit? I wonder why. He has an Israel and a Jacob both in the same personality. Have you ever wondered why that teenager who lives in your house can clean her room like it's a Waldorf Astoria one day, and the next day it looks like Pearl Harbor after the Japanese dropped the bomb? I'll tell you why it is, because there's an Israel and a Jacob dwelling in the same person there. Have you ever wondered why your wife one day can be as warm as an Alaskan stove and the next day as cold as the outside of the igloo? Have you ever wondered about that? I wonder why. Because there's a Jacob and an Israel who lives inside her breast. Have you ever wondered why your husband can bring flowers on the inside and not chop the weeds on the outside? You know why? There's an Israel inside that fellow's breast, and there's a Jacob inside that fellow's breast. I've often wondered how I, as a preacher, can preach one Sunday like a combination of Paulus, R.G. Lee, and William Jennings Bryan, and the next Sunday preach like I'm a freshman English. I wonder why. Because inside of me there's a Jacob that wants to do bad, and there's an Israel that wants to do good. Have you ever wondered why a junior boy has horns sticking through his halo? That's because there's both an Israel there and a Jacob. Or have you ever wondered about junior girls who are a combination of an angelic demon, a demon-possessed cherub, and a little heavenly devil all wrapped up in one little package? Have you ever wondered how that same little thing that looks up to you and says you're the greatest daddy in all the world can look and stomp her foot and say no? No. Have you ever wondered why one you hug in the morning, you have to spank in the evening? And one who is as precious to you as an angelic cherub in the morning is a little devilish demon? And one to whom, for whom you would not take $1,000,000 in the morning, you'd just take $1.95 for at bedtime? Have you ever wondered about that? I'll give you the answer. The answer is because in every single one of us there's an Israel and a Jacob. Now, if we stop to recognize that, we can win the battle. If we don't, we'll lose the battle. We've got to stop and realize that this old nature, you're selfish. The new nature is unselfish. The old nature wants to go wrong. The new nature wants to go right. There's a constant warfare, the Apostle Paul said. When I would do good, then I do not do good. When I would that which I would not do, I do. And that which I would, I do not do. Oh, wretched man that I am, he said. I am the chiefest of sinners. Have you ever wondered what makes a bride one day want to leave her mama for her groom and 24 hours later cry because she can't leave her groom to go back to mama? It's because there is a Jacob and an Israel in the same breast. What makes a student put an apple on top of the teacher's desk and a lizard inside? Why? 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 That's why parents are frustrated. That's why nobody can understand anybody else. Husbands can't understand wives, and wives can't understand husbands. Teenagers can't understand parents, and parents can't understand teenagers. Little brothers cannot understand big brothers or big sisters, and big brothers and sisters can't understand little brothers and sisters. It seems about the time we want to crown them with a crown, we decide to crown them with a club. We never know exactly what to do. Why? Because in every single one of us, there is an old nature and there is a new nature. We all have a Saul and a Paul. We all have a Peter and a Cephas. We all have a Naomi and a Mara. We all have an Esau and an Edom. We all have a Jacob and an Israel. We all have a black and a white, a good and a bad, a wrong and a right. All of us do. Now, the secret to your Christian life is going to be wrapped up in one great truth, and that is, what are you going to do? Who's going to win? Now, what causes Jacob to dominate? Oh, we attribute many things when Jacob dominates. When the flesh wins over the spirit, when Edom wins over Esau, Jacob wins over Israel, or Mara wins over Naomi. What causes that? Oh, we say many things. It's hyperthyroid, overwork, or menopause. It may be second childhood, generation gap, or mother-in-laws. But something has to cause our behavior. The child is the generation gap that causes the child of Jacob to win. The teenage Jacob is just in those years where Jacob always wins. The middle-aged Jacob is in those years where everything is changing, and so we have some. No, the honest, simple truth is, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a child who's saved, or a teenager who's confessing the generation gap, or a woman in the mid-years of life, or a man with all the financial and burdened financial frustrations and burdens, or an older person facing the sunset years. You can have victory over Jacob. There's no excuse for it. No excuse for the people of First Baptist Church. Let the bad overbalance the good, and the wrong the right, and the black the white, and the Jacob the Israel. There is a way that you and I can let Jacob win. Now, it's as simple as ABC. There are no secrets to it. It's as simple as 2 and 2 is 4, and ABCDEFG. What is it? One is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. You take old Jacob and starve him to death, he won't have supremacy in your life. Don't you feed him with Playboy magazine. Don't you feed Jacob, for he eats Penthouse magazine or Cosmopolitan. Don't you feed him. He feeds on dirty articles. Don't you feed him. He feeds on Johnny Carson shows. Don't you feed him. He feeds on the wide world of entertainment or wide world of devilment. Don't you feed him. You say to Jacob, I'll not feed you. I'll feed Israel. For Israel feeds on this blessed word of God. Now, it's as simple as ABC. You leave your Bible unread, and Jacob's going to win the battle going on in your life. You take the word of God and feed yourself with this book. I mean daily. I mean momentarily. The Bible is still true when it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. If you feed yourself on this book, you will not lose the battle to Jacob. Or you'll always have him. And sometimes you'll lose an inning, but you'll never lose the game. Sometimes you'll lose a quarter, but you'll never lose the game. Sometimes you'll lose a round, but you'll never lose the fight. Sometimes you'll get down, but you'll get back up. If you feed the new man, the great sin among God's people, the great condemning sin among God's people, is how little we care about the word of God. Don't close the door. It's too late now to do that. We'll do that in the first part of the service. It's how you feed the new man. Now listen to me. You can come to church every Sunday morning and be in Sunday school. You can come to the morning preaching service, take the Lord's Supper, hear me preach, hear these beautiful songs, come back on Sunday night, come back on Wednesday night, as we take the Bible and study it verse for verse, and we've done it now for almost 16 years. You can go to a Christian school. You can be a good, faithful, separated Christian, but you will not win the Bible unless you bathe your life in this book. Read it, study it, memorize it, learn it, love it, follow it, obey it, carry it, live in the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not a single person in this room this morning, not a one, who could go home today and eat a noon meal. No matter what it is, eat a big T-bone steak and baked potato and asparagus and chocolate pie at the end, and then say that does it for this week. Have you ever eaten a big Thanksgiving dinner and thought you'd never eat again? Well, do you recall how you felt about 6 o'clock that night? Huh? You who fled from the turkey at noontime are now on the plow to catch that bird in the evening time. Why? I'll tell you why. Noontime food won't do for eventide. Yesterday's meal won't do for the day. You can no more eat one meal on Sunday and go hungry till next Sunday and have the strength, the work, and the strength to do what you ought to do. And you can come and hear me preach once or twice a week and go home and never feed on the Word of God anymore. Now you listen to me, members of First Baptist Church. I believe with all of my heart this is the greatest church on the face of God's earth. But as great as it is, it will not suffice for your living in this book. It will not. I can tell it myself. I can tell when Jacob wins, as I when I end the day and look back and find that Jacob has had supremacy over Israel, I can always tell it the day when I did not stay in the Bible. I did not memorize a single verse that day. I did not read my Bible enough that day. And Jacob wins the battle for that day. The Word of God. Number two, just as simple as ABC, the Spirit of God. How can Jacob win over Israel, lose to Israel, and Israel win over Jacob? How can my new nature carry the ball and win the game? Paul said, I buffet my body daily, every morning, just as sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit. I go through a little ritual. I go to the drape, whether I'm at home or in a motel room, and I open the drape. I look out and quote Psalm 17:15, I shall be satisfied when I awaken thy likeness. And I said, Jesus, I wish you'd come today. I cheer up to see you today. I wish you'd come before the night, sundown. I'd love to see you today. Please come today. And then I go through other ritual. But every morning of my life, I take my body and yield it to the Holy Spirit. I take my hands and say, these hands are yours today, Holy Spirit.
I take my feet and say, these feet are yours today, Holy Spirit. I take my eyes and say, my eyes are yours today, Holy Spirit. I take my mouth and say, my mouth is yours today, Holy Spirit. I take my tongue and say, my tongue is yours today, Holy Spirit. I take my body and say, my body is yours today, Holy Spirit. You do that in the morning. You give your eyes to the Holy Spirit in the morning. You won't watch this garbage on television, these little afternoon serials. They're nothing more than three-cornered lust shows. You won't watch them if you give your eyes to God and the Holy Spirit in the morning. If you give your feet to the Holy Spirit in the morning, you won't follow evil paths during the day. If you give your hands to the Holy Spirit in the morning, you won't lift the beer bottle during the day. If you give your ears to the Holy Spirit in the morning, you won't listen to rock music during the day. If you give your eyes to the Holy Spirit in the morning, you won't read the dirty magazine. Listen, what this generation needs is as simple as ABC. It needs a group of God's people who love this book and surrender themselves momentarily to the blessed Spirit of God. No other answer to it. None. None. Howells Anderson College won't take the place of that. Hammond Baptist High School won't substitute for that. Hammond Baptist Grade School won't substitute for that. First Baptist Church won't take the place of that. These are all tools that point you that the answer is in a momentary walk, day by day, moment by moment, in the Word of God with the Spirit of God. And then there's a third very quickly, and that is the work of God. The work of God. Busy people. Busy people don't get in trouble. Busy people don't go into sin. Busy people. It was while David was watering, loafing, while the kings went forth to battle, he got in trouble. Work of God. Stay busy for God. May I say this morning? I want to be a prince. I don't want to be a supplanter. I want to be Israel. I don't want to be Jacob. God knows that's true. I want my body, I want my life to have the victory for the new man. You folks that wallow in the garbage and cesspool of iniquity and sin, there's more to life than that. Good night, there's more to life than that. We only have one life to live. Don't live it in a septic tank. I'll say to you men whose eyes lust after every female you see, and I say to you women who stir that lust by your wicked dress and your nudity and your shorts in public and all the rest of it, bearing your breast before the lustful eyes of men, there's something holier and more righteous in life than that. Rise above it, people of God. I long for there to be a church in Hammond, Indiana, whether it be big or little. I long for there to be one church in Hammond, Indiana, where the people live in this book and follow the Spirit of God in their daily walk. I don't long just for 25,000. I want 25,000 people who walk on Monday like we talk on Sunday. Let them call us fools. Let them call us fanatics. Let them say we're Neanderthal men. Let them call us piltdown men. But let's leave this place on Sunday. We have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, where Israel wins the battle over Jacob. Let's not be a bunch of Israels on Sunday and Jacobs on Monday. Let's be Israel at work. Let's be Israel at play. Let's be Israel at school. Let's be Israel away from the church in business. Let's be Israel in our business dealings. Let's be Israel in our recreation. Let's be Israel 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But I'm talking to somebody who says, Brother Hiles, I don't have that battle. And some of you don't. You say, I don't understand what you're talking about. I don't have this battle going on inside of me. I don't have two natures. I don't have an Israel and a Jacob. Yes, I know you don't. That's because you've never been born again. The natural man is just a Jacob. That's all he is. The natural man is just a Naomi. That's all she is. Woman, that's all one is, Naomi. Well, a person who's not converted, a person who's not saved, is only one man. But the moment you invite Jesus Christ to come into your life, a new person comes into your life. You have been born again. Hey, what, you say, what's happened to me?
Sunday morning, about 7 o'clock, I want to get up and go to that church building, hear that fellow holler for 30 minutes, for an hour. I can understand it.
And I find myself taking my billfold and taking hard-earned money. I used to wouldn't give a dollar bill to the church to see the Mississippi River tied in the bull knot. All of a sudden, I find myself taking a 10 or a 20 and giving 10% of my income. What's happened to me? All of a sudden, I find that the things I used to read, I don't want to read. And I find an old black book without a single picture in it. And such as these and bowels has an appeal. I find myself wanting to read a book I never even thought about before. What's happened to me?
I'll tell you what's happened to you. You've been born again. That's what's happened to you. You've looked up and said to Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm lost, and I know you died to save me, and I want to receive you as my Savior. More happened then than you ever dreamed or ever will understand until you get to heaven.
Christ, God incarnate, Jesus Christ, the Son of God,
came into your life to live. And now you are two people. And you can sing with the writer, I'll sing it, I'll pet it, wherever I go.
I want all to hear it. I want all to know.
Joy of salvation that makes my heart glow, for I have been born again. But you say, Brother Hiles, I never have had that. You can. You can. At the heart's door, the Savior's knocking. At the heart's door, fast closed by sin. Don't you hear him gently knocking? Draw the bolt and let him in. If this morning in this hour, whether you're 6 or 16 or 60 or 106, if you this morning would say, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm lost, and I know that I'm not born again, and I know that Jesus Christ went to Calvary as a picture of these elements a while ago, shed his blood, broke his body, laid down his life. It's my substitute and my sacrifice. You will say, Jesus, come into my heart today. I, in faith, turn to you as my Savior and my Lord. The moment you do that, the Spirit of God will come into your life. Christ himself will come into your heart. And you'll go to work tomorrow, and you'll be working on the carpenter, maybe, and you'll miss the nail and hit the nail on your thumb. And blood will gush out, and you'll look, and you'll say, dirty brick of Bacaloma. And something will say to you, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have said that. You never felt that before, did you? You know what's happened? Jesus is in there now. He's there.
And then all of a sudden, the fellows pass around the beer, and you reach out to pick a bottle.
And you look at that beer bottle, and all of a sudden, the beauty of that bottle is faded. And your hand don't fit it anymore. And you say, what's happened to me? Jesus is there. That's what's happened to you. You've been born again. You're a new creature. And you can have that any time you sincerely will turn to him in believing faith. May I ask you, Christian, this morning, are you Jacob or Israel? Huh? Where have you been this week?
Why don't you decide this morning, every morning when I get up, I'm going to get in the Bible, and I'm going to stay in the Bible a while, and I'm going to come to God and say, I yield myself to the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to be busy for God, so Jacob
can lose and Israel can win. Give yourself to the new man and feed him. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, and work for God. This morning, if you do not know what I'm talking about, you can know. Or you can walk out those doors this morning at the end of this service with your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, your sins forgiven, and Jesus Christ himself dwelling in you. You will go to heaven when you die. Would you bow your heads, please, for prayer? I wonder, while our heads are down, I wonder how many would say this morning, Brother Hiles, I'm a Christian. Now, that I'm sure, but Jacob has won the battle this week in far too many cases. I'm born again, my name is in heaven, and I know it, but Jacob has had preeminence this week. I'm going to get in the Word of God and obey the Spirit of God and do the work of God so that Israel can win. And I can be a prince instead of a trickster. I confess that Jacob has won the battle this week, but he'll not win it next week. Would you lift your hand, please? All over the building. All over the building. You may lower your hand. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I don't even know what you're talking about because I'm not even a Christian. I don't even know about this two-natured person. I don't even know about Israel. All I know about Jacob. I don't know that I'm saved. I wonder how many would say this morning, Brother Hiles, I do not know that if I died today I would go to heaven, but I wish I did know it. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven when I die, but I do not know that I'm saved. First on the main floor, on the lower floor. How many would say, pray for me? I want to be saved and know it. Lift your hand way up high. Man, woman, boy, girl.